Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham. I'm filling in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm here with the hosts, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And your calls, of course. So give us a call at 1-800-229-3000.
I really appreciate your program.
I've been married a little over 19 years, but exactly a year ago, I committed adultery.
So basically, I have a choice between living a celibate life by myself or going to hell.
What happens is when God's structures aren't kept in place, then things kind of get upside down.
There may need to be another church split. You may need to split and find a church that has an active children's minister versus saying something like we're uncomfortable being around a mom and a daughter.
It seems like there's a real disconnect between how she sees things and how you see things.
There's not much that's honorable in her. Maybe the only thing you can honor her for is for giving you life.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Steve Arterburn with New Life Live here, and I'm with my favorite host, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And wait, this doesn't sound like Steve Arterburn.
Okay, if you guys were watching, if you are watching this on television, Sherry is holding up a picture. Where'd you get that?
I know.
It's Steve on a stick.
Steve on a stick. Yes. Oh, it's the fill-in Steve.
It's the life-size head and shoulders of Steve, and she's holding this up on a stick. And
but what are the ears?
Okay, they're cat ears.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when the cat's away, the mice will play.
Ah.
Get it? Get
amazing.
It? So,
yeah.
So
right.
We have some mice here today.
We do. Yes. So we are here to play.
I have Henry. Henry, who moved the cheese mouse?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
Now she has another one. Can we get on? Let's talk to some callers. This is.
There you go.
This is. Is there a camera on this?
Yeah, got to do. It's Henry with ears on. And then we have Dr. Jill Mousetrap Hubbard.
That picture. Yes, thank you.
Okay,
so
where did you
much.
Get this picture?
I know.
That's
these
like
are,
the
these
worst
are
thing
the
I've ever seen.
Okay, yeah. And there's Sherry Ratatouille.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, all the players are here.
All the players are here. And, right, we're going to have fun today. We're going to be in the studio all day.
Now, are we going to interview? Wait a minute. We have, like, there could be great. I could interview you guys on the dating world out there.
Okay, moving right along.
Yeah.
I've got both of you because
I've
gotten little snippets of getting. I got to talk to each of you here and there, but now I've got you both together.
This
is not
here.
This is not a laboratory. We are not rats. We were cute little mice.
That's and all cute little mice should be getting lots of dates, and I want to find out how that's going.
Well, we may talk about that a little later.
We'll talk about it at the break. I'll get full permission, and then you guys stay tuned, and you're going to get an inner. Here.
Well, speaking of dating, Steve is actually not here today.
Oh,
he is has written a TV program called 10 Dates. He's in Nashville. And so he's actually filming it today. He wrote it, it's his idea, and it's going to be airing on country music television.
Yay, this is exciting.
So I
just
have
want to
one
know why
program.
You guys aren't two of the ten, right?
Hey.
Whoever it is. Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe in the future, Henry.
It's the New Life version of The Bachelorette or something.
Yeah.
I feel a little dissed, actually.
Yes.
You know?
Who's your agent?
You should have been my agent.
Oh, really, Henry?
You should have been my agent.
We'll be hiring you.
We'll call Steve and find out, you know, what happened to you guys.
Well, we have a fun show planned here today. So truly, 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 when we think about when the cat's away, the mice will play.
Mm-hmm.
That saying came back in the 14th century, and it came out of when the king was gone. Well, actually, when there was no cat in the kingdom, then the mice were king. But when we think about our lives and when we think about the things that go on in our lives when someone, like, you know, maybe a wife, her husband's away on a trip and things happen with pornography or parents that leave and their kids, you know, here we are in graduation time. Their kids have a big party, you know.
Right.
There's all kinds of things that happen.
Home alone.
Home alone. So,
you know,
we'd like to hear from you.
I've got an example of that I think all humanity can identify with.
Yeah.
What if the cat's the part of you that's supposed to observe the rest of you and you split off that inner observer?
Wow, we'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham filling in for Steve Arterburn and here with Henry and Jill, and let's take a call.
Sounds good.
All right. So, let's see.
It's those buttons over there. Yeah, one of them is like flashing red. You just kind of, there you go.
I think we'll go to Vicki from Seattle, Washington. Hey, Vicki.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Good. Doing well.
That's good.
So what is going on in your world?
Well, we have a teenage son. His name is David, and he's a great kid, but he wants to date, and I'm not excited about it.
He wants to date sometime in life, or he wants to date now when he's 13?
He wants to date now.
He's 13 and wants to date.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. What does that mean to him? What does he think about when he says he wants to date?
Well, this is his answer. I'm going to be 14. I'm going into high school, ninth grade. I should be able to date.
Okay, so what does dating mean? Have you asked him?
Well, see, that's where we need to get down to the nitty-gritty, I think. And mm-hmm. My husband and I were just talking about this. He needs to take David away and just get on one-on-one with him and really discuss the matter. He sees his friends having girlfriends, and so I think that influences him quite a bit.
Having girlfriends or dating?
Well, he says they're having girlfriends.
Well, it's not unusual. It's not unusual for junior hires to have crushes on somebody, mm-hmm. and there's, right. quote, going with somebody or whatever, but that doesn't mean that they're going out on dates. Like,
right.
You can't even drive. How do you go on a date if you can't drive?
Yeah.
So, again, to Jill's question, what does mm-hmm. this mean?
Because I think there's graduated steps in the dating process. And so to make it an all or nothing doesn't give him the opportunity to grow into a place where you would trust him with dating. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of people say, okay, well, not till you're 16. Well, then you're just going to stick them out there. Why not have them do some things where you have a little more supervision before they are driving?
Well, I feel very strongly about that, too, that would be a good thing, that he could have a special friend, and she could come over to the house, and we could get to know her family, mm-hmm. and I would hope they would want the same, on their end, that sort of thing.
You can hope that. Don't always count on that, but
okay. It sounds like
I think if you get to know the family for anybody he dates when it does become dating age, I think that's throwing way too much seriousness into a date. I mean... You're almost asking them to show up with a dowry or something.
Okay.
Like, why?
I'm just hearing some anxiety over it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what's your anxiety about, Vicki? What's going on? What happened for you when you were 13 or dating?
Yeah, well, my husband and I have known each other since we were in grade school.
Oh.
And so we grew up together, and we had our first experience together and all that, and we went through a lot together. But we've been married... 9 years.
You had your first experience
together.
Does that mean sex?
Yes.
When you were in high school?
14.
Oh, okay. So now we get it.
Okay. All right. So you don't want him to get in trouble.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so back to Jill's point earlier about this gradual thing. Who trained you in how to date?
Me? Who trained me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Myself.
Who trained your husband?
Himself and his friends.
Yeah,
okay.
So I think that's kind of what Jill was saying, that if you do a gradual thing where they come mm-hmm. over, they have play dates, they get to go on group outings, you know.
Church
you,
events.
Yeah.
Where there's
drop them off
chaperones.
The skating rink with a bunch of people, mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff. Then they show themselves trustworthy in little, and like the Bible says, who's faithful in little, it will be given more.
Mm-hmm. And you,
but certainly not 13, dating, absolutely not.
So what you said, Henry, is right. I mean, they really need to learn. I mean, mm-hmm. and you can be the ones to help them with that. And instead of leaving that all up to them, you can guide them and direct them. But if you try to over-control it, right, they're going to hide and go underground. So
right.
it's just really making it a topic of conversation.
Yeah, and I think it'd be a good idea to just take this and expand it to all of parenting. Here's what you've got going for you, something really good. You've got desire. And so this is a kid that wants to engage in life. He wants to date. And I wouldn't spank that. I would mm-hmm. embrace it, and I'd celebrate it. Go, Johnny, that is such – I forgot what his name was.
David.
I was going to protect you from having to say his name. Okay.
It's okay.
All right. So, David, I think it is so cool that you want to date, you know, that you feel confident in all this. And, you know, that is the greatest. All right. So here's what we're going to do. Let's talk about how you're going to get to do that when you get to the age where you can, you know, fully date and go on out on an individual date by yourself. Let's talk about the steps to get there. Uh-huh. And then you just talk about graduated, you know, milestones that he has to hit. And dating's not isolated, David. It comes in a responsible life. So that means, it's, mm-hmm. you know, obviously you're going to be making your grades and doing all your chores and not being in any other kind of trouble because it fits into this whole picture of an integrated life. And so let's talk about the steps. And you use this as a, you know, probably a, what's he, 13? Use it a 2.5-year mm-hmm. program. And then that's going
to
be a big day.
And you get to find out what goes on inside of him. What does he think about when he thinks about dating a girl? What types of girls does he like? What does he envision, you know, that date being? You know, and helping him to treat a girl the way that God would want him to, the way that you wished you had been treated at that age. You get to
exactly.
kind of go back, and you both get to kind of redo this. You get to redo it, and he gets to learn it for the first time.
So hope that helps, Vicki. What about your book, Boundaries and for teens? That would be a good book, huh?
Actually, that's for her.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah right.
But Boundaries in Dating would be a great one to sit down oh. and go through it with him.
Mm-hmm. Good. So we'll send those both to you. All right?
That sounds good.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Vicki.
All right.
All right. Well, let's go now to, how about Sam? All right, Sam, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I'm going to let my daughters
Sirius
date when they're
Radio.
40.
You're going to let them what?
I'm going to let them date when they're 40.
Really?
I think that's generous.
Okay, do you know I've already had conversations with my 9-year-old son about dating, because he has lots of ideas. So it's like, okay, let's talk about this while you're young and what's appropriate for third grade. And, you know, because he's getting a little ahead of himself there. You
I,
know?
Remember, I remember.
Sorry, Sam.
My first, like, big step was when I was in the second grade and I bought a little friendship ring. Remember those little rings?
Yeah.
They were like a couple of dollars. For my girlfriend. I had a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say her name on the air because who knows, you know.
If she's listening.
Who's listening. But I bought it for her for Christmas.
Aw.
And I was so excited, and I came home and I told my parents and they said, you can't give her a Christmas present. And I said, why? They said, because she's Jewish and she doesn't celebrate Christmas. And I was heartbroken.
Aww.
Probably retarded me for decades.
She probably still would have liked the
but
present.
then they let me
like
we figured out the Hanukkah thing and that they compromised and so
mm-hmm.
it all
nice.
Worked out
nice. Well, hey Sam,
like you guys are really
now
nice.
That you've been, now that you've been listening to Henry's
Henry.
Early love life
yes
right
hey good to have you
yeah
what's going on?
Been married for almost a little over 3 years now.
All right.
And it's been tremendously difficult the whole time. And my wife and I have seen two or three different counselors And we've been to a New Life weekend and also went to intensive marriage counseling. And my wife has now quit the second counselors that we've seen because they wanted to see us individually and try and tackle some of our own personal issues first and then take on the marriage issues. She has now quit again, and I don't know what kind of boundaries I can set from this point forward. I guess I have to say first, about a year ago, I was looking at pornography on the cell phone and was caught doing that. I came clean about that and have been in contact with, well, been going to an EMB men's group on Monday evenings.
Good for you.
Also, in more deeper, revealing friendship and conversation with a couple of men from that group and a couple of men from our church. But I guess the biggest thing is my wife quit again going to counseling, and I just don't know what kind of boundary to set forward from this point.
So a boundary, help us understand that, because what's the question in light of boundaries?
Well, she didn't say anything about not going to marriage counseling, but we both have our own set of personal issues that we brought into the marriage.
Right.
On how we look at life.
Hey, Sam.
I think that's what, go ahead, Emma.
Let me ask you a question. Generally speaking.
Yes.
It's not a good idea in a fragmenting, volatile, or otherwise not very connected marriage to send two individuals into individual counseling only where there's nobody working on the marriage to try to hold that together.
Okay.
So why was that the suggestion? I understand that,
like,
people
in
marriage counseling,
but not in place of.
Right. I understand where you each might have your individual stuff that somebody wants you to be working on, but why was it suggested that the marital counseling stop?
I guess they wanted to tackle some of the personal things first, individual things first. Why we stopped going together, I guess we have two extremely different points of view.
That's kind of why I mentioned that, because what happens a lot of times, you get an individual counseling and either one or both parties finds a place where, gosh, this feels better. I don't have him or her making me crazy anymore. In fact, this feels so good because he or she is so crazy that I don't even know if I want to go back. And it furthers the split.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I think they saw that they seemed as though I was controlled by my wife, and they wanted to dive into maybe some things, you know, and me be open and honest about some things, because even sometimes during counseling sessions, I just felt like if I said something wrong, you know, the hammer was going to fall down. I know that the pornography issue is my issue, but it's like, she could control whatever, and she always fought against me in what I said or what I wanted to do. So it seems...
So your lack of ability to be able to confront something in the sessions is a perfect topic for the session.
Yeah, that's
right.
Why a counselor's in the room with you.
Right.
Right.
Because that's a problem if you can't bring things up.
Yes.
And your wife may be feeling afraid. A lot of times fear is underneath that control.
Yes, and that's what they've told me, that even though my wife is a strong woman, she is afraid and scared on the inside, but every time I try and reach out and talk with her and be there for her or express my feelings of, you know, how things are going on, it's kind of like it bounces right off of her, and the talking that we would have to solve an issue or a problem just turns into anger from both sides, and we can never solve a problem or an issue in our lives.
Right. And again, Sam, that's usually why a marriage counselor wants to be in the room when that happens, because he or she would use those moments to help both of you gain some self-control and start to listen to each other.
Okay.
What might be a recommendation?
So one of the things you could ask for is that
if you're going to venture into individual, that you want to keep the marital counseling going.
But she said she doesn't want to do that.
Oh, she absolutely said no to that?
No, she does want to keep the marital going.
Right. Okay, great.
But she does not want to go to individual.
Individual.
Yeah. So Sam, I don't think there's anything wrong with, in fact, I think it's good for you to go back into marital with her. In terms of boundaries, you know, think of boundaries as boundaries are basically about self-control. So what boundaries are appropriate? Well, boundaries are appropriate for you to choose, you know, what you'll engage in and what you want and mm-hmm. how far you can go with her yelling at you before you decide, you know, we're going to talk about this later or something. But you can work all that out in the marriage counseling. And I would guess if the marriage counseling would go well, it would get her to owning things enough to where she's not acting them out, a little bit in distress, and then maybe she'll want to go to individual.
All right. We'll be right back with New Life Live.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham filling in for Steve Arterburn. And Sam, thank you for your call. We're chatting a little bit over the break here. We're going to send you
Your Love Life.
It's Henry's book, Henry and John's book, actually, Rescue Your Love Life. Sounds like it would be a great resource for you. And just thinking about it, as we were talking about the control and the fear underneath it,
mm-hmm.
Having been married to someone who struggled with pornography and sex addiction, I understand that fear.
Right. And that reticence to really want to move forward and trust again.
Yeah, and how difficult it is, you know, because mm-hmm. there has been that betrayal and the wound, and so it does take time to rebuild that trust. But I was thinking about Wives in the Battle would be a great thing for his wife to come. Yes. We've got a Wives in the Battle conference coming up September mm-hmm. 23rd through the 25th. Would love to have you come, or any other wives who are in a relationship with your husband who has struggled with sex addiction, pornography, affairs. We want the wives to learn how to move through and reconnect and reengage mm-hmm. and to be able to stand strong in the battle.
I was just going to have one more thought. You know, Sam, you had said that you guys have been at this for like 3 years, and it was only a year ago, I think, that he said that he came clean with the pornography stuff.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so maybe you could look at it this way. It took you 2.5 years, or 1.5 years, or maybe 2 years, to kind of take ownership and sort of throw it all in and surrender. And she's not surrendering immediately. So maybe you could think about that in terms of the patience that God had for you, and that it takes time for people to respond to grace. Mm-hmm. And maybe, maybe that will help.
Yeah, it's a good idea. All right, well, let's go to our callers again. And how about Patricia? Let's go to Patricia. Hi, Patricia. Patricia's calling from Seattle, Washington on KGNW.
Hey, hi, thank you for taking my phone call.
You got it, Patricia. Thanks for calling. So what's up?
I have a really difficult situation. My husband and I have been married for 33 years. I've worked for 31 of those years and have been unemployed for the last 2 years due to the economy. And during that time frame, our marriage has just not only gone downhill, but has just come into the most unusual situation that I never would have thought would have happened.
What's that?
Well, he now, because I haven't worked for the last 2 years, he now says I have no value to the family whatsoever.
He says you have no value?
Like he says it outright like that?
Yeah, in front of my kids, too.
Ouch.
And it's just, you know, it's constant. It's different ways. And now it's gotten to the point, of course, I've listened to this, you know, pretty heavily now for the last year because it's gotten much worse, that that it's, you know, affect us to the point where I know the only thing that I have of myself left is myself and my body. And so now I have, for the last 3 months, denied him having any contact physically with me because it's all I have left that I have control over now.
Mm. Yeah, how painful.
Yeah.
What can we want to help you? Can you give us a question that lets us know what you would like? What's a question that could help us know how we can reach out to you?
How can I get him, first of all, to stop the verbal descriptions that he is giving me of what he feels my value as a person is? And I've told him that, you know, first of all, anybody that would say that to someone else doesn't have any right to even assume that they could put a value on a person at all, because they, you know, obviously about enough about another human being, whether it was your own wife.
And that probably didn't help, right?
No, I'm sure it didn't help.
Yeah.
But,
so, Patricia,
you know,
what have you tried? Because this is awful.
It's terrible because I have two daughters, and he doesn't.
How old are your daughters?
They're 16 and 17.
Okay. What have you tried? Tell us what you've tried.
I've asked him that if he won't stop for me, will he at least consider our daughters? Because I told him, I said, you are the example for our daughters of what they're going to seek as husbands. And someday they're going to come to you and say, my husband is being verbally abusive to me, and hopefully never physically abusive. And I said, and you're going to have to answer that question to them as to what type of the role model they had. And I can't seem to, he doesn't seem to care enough about me to make any change. And so I guess I've reached out to try and make him understand how he acts, you know, in front of our daughters is what he's setting up for them to be.
Patricia, but you keep asking him to stop, and I'm wondering, you know, it seems like there's a lot more that goes into that than the verbal abuse. I mean, certainly that is wrong, but, you know, his anger is leaking out all over the place. And so,
all over.
So, I mean, it sounds like there's some deeper problems there that have probably been there throughout your marriage.
There has, and it's always been, I always knew that it was a power, you know, that I never could be in a position where he had all of the power financially in the marriage.
Hey, Patricia, we're going to take a quick break.
We'll be right back
with some answers.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham filling in for Steve Arterburn. And we are going to be in the studio all day today for 6 hours.
Yippee.
So, yay, I know. So give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to hear from you. So Henry had a thought here for you.
I also had a thought, Sherry, for Patricia. And Patricia, I am just wondering why you would accept such a preposterous idea that your value is based on money. And
Well, I don't. And it's interesting because his mother both, you know, raised children in the home and did not work outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, who he loves dearly, you know, worked in the home.
Okay.
And I just told him last night. I said, I don't understand, you know, why you put so much value on, you know, my earning ability when you're working. You've worked for 30-some years and see me raising our children and doing all these things.
Working, you know, and doing the children, right?
All of it. You know, and of course, when I was working, I was
so,
doing
but
everything.
Why, what is it inside of you, Patricia, that accepts it? I get that you don't want him to say it, and it's hurtful, of course. But I hear you accepting it, and it's like over the 2 years, you've gotten more and more beaten down.
So let's give her some practical...
Probably because I did work for so many years.
Hey, Patricia, let's give her some practical helps here, right? Because we kind of see what's going on. She's in that place of victim or weakness, right? Mm-hmm. And it just keeps coming. So what can we give her to help her?
Yeah, Patricia... What Jill is talking about here, I think you've really got to hear this because it kind of lays the groundwork that all this other stuff can have a place to play. You've said two or three things that kind of show us that you do kind of put up with this. I'll give you an example. You told him, well, you know, if you won't do it for me, then do it for the children, which means if you do it for the children, I'm still willing to kind of be the sacrificial lamb and get,
that
you
has
know,
no value.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to, I hear you over and over and over entering into conversations with him, treating this logically, like you're going to get him to see this, right?
Yeah.
Can you see how you do that?
I do, and you know, and I think the root of it is that I have no power because I have no money.
No, Patricia, stop. Power, God has given every human being power. God has omnipower. That's why we say he's omnipotent. You're made in his likeness. You have power. The power that he's passed on to you are things like the ability to think, the ability to feel, the ability to make choices, the ability to create and imagine different choices that you don't have right before you today, and then the self-control to follow through on those. Okay, so you cannot control him, right? Nor can you, apparently, because he's not listening, talk him into better behavior. So here's a couple of suggestions. I would sit down with him at a time when this isn't happening and say the following, something like this. You know what? I've talked to you about the way that you talk to me in front of the kids and the way that you just talk to me personally about putting me down because I'm not working. I've tried everything that I know to do to find work. If you have a better suggestion, I'm open to it. But until then, I'm not going to listen to myself being put down like that, nor am I going to allow the girls to listen to that, okay? Because it's not good for them either. So I'm just going to tell you, I hope things can go well. I hope we can talk. But if that happens again, then we'll probably be leaving the room. We'll go for a walk. We go to Susie's. I don't know what we're going to do. But what I won't do is be put down anymore like that. Now, I don't want to stay like that. So the second thing that I'm going to invite you to, because I'm going to go myself to talk to a counselor, because I need to know kind of how to deal with this while you're unwilling to change. If you are willing to work on this problem, you're more than welcome to join me. But I'm going to go either way, to talk to my pastor or to talk to a counselor. And generally speaking, people don't like for somebody to go to a counselor and talk about them. So that might get him there. But remember, you have the power of how you are going to be treated. Every human being, unless they're under an oppressive regime in some government that, you know, does things like that, you have the power to decide how you're going to be treated and what you're going to
allow. Right, and I would add, and I'm really sad that your only measure of others is through money and what they do, which tells me that must be how you measure yourself. And that makes me very sad for you.
Yeah,
so, Patricia, hey, hopefully we've shared something here today with you that has helped. And what do you think would be a good resource for Patricia?
I think boundaries would be...
Oh, yeah.
Boundaries or boundaries in marriage?
Boundaries in
I'd
marriage.
Start with boundaries.
Boundaries, okay.
Because, Patricia, the basic concept of boundaries is that God has given every human this thing called self-control. And if we give up the ability to take control of how we are going to allow ourselves to be treated, then not only does it allow bad things to happen, but it actually fuels them and augments their getting worse. So
knowing what's ours and what isn't ours.
Yeah, and the third thing I would suggest you is go find a good support group. You know, there's a lot of them up there in your town and good churches, and they have good boundary groups or codependency groups or whatever. And I think you can really get some help. And see a counselor.
Thanks, Henry. And thanks for calling, Patricia. You know, good stuff. Good stuff. Well, let's see.
Can I talk about a little concept?
Sure.
For a second.
You can.
The Bible, and I wrote about this in Necessary Endings, it basically says that there's kind of three kinds of people in the world. There's wise people, there's foolish people, and there's evil people.
Hmm.
Wise people are not the smartest people in the room. Necessarily, they may be, but they're often not. A wise person is somebody that when you tell them the truth, they join the truth and they change themselves to match the truth. So they adjust to the light when the light shows up, and they thank you for it. Confront a wise person, the Bible says, and he will be wiser still. Confront a wise person, he will love you for it. Okay? There's a second category called the fool or the mocker. They may be the smartest person in the world. They may be the most gifted, the most talented, the most charming.
Yeah.
But when the light comes to the fool, they adjust the light, not themselves.
Yeah, very good explanation. Okay? Good. Like that.
The light hurts their eyes, so they turn it down. Okay. They give excuses. They blame. They shoot the messenger. They externalize it. They attack you back. The Bible has very, 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 very clear instructions on how to talk to the fool. It says, don't. Do not confront a mocker, lest you incur insults upon yourself. Confront a mocker and he will hate you for it. Confront a wise person and he will love you for it. And the Bible says that over and over and over again. What she is doing is
so
she is
Proverbs
giving,
would be good for her to read.
Exactly. Yeah. She's giving feedback to somebody who, by her description, we don't know him. He may be the greatest guy in the world and she's not seeing it.
Right.
But by her description, he's not open to any feedback about his hurtful behavior. And so the Bible says, stop that. Why are you talking to somebody that's not listening? Instead, you go to limits and consequences. Mm-hmm. And then there's a third category of evil, which are people that really are out to cause you harm. Mm-hmm. Usually fools aren't trying to hurt anybody. They're just trying to avoid responsibility. But they hurt a lot of people in the sort of in the past.
Sure. Right.
Evil people are really out to hurt you. And the Bible says go into protective mode at that point. You know, mm-hmm. Proverbs 22 says, the wise person sees evil and hides himself, but the simple keep going and are destroyed by it.
Wow.
And many other instances. So it's very important to know who you're dealing with, to whether or not you want to even get in these conversations without a chaperone present. And that's what a good counselor is.
Thanks, Hannah. Thanks. That was great. Yeah. Good. Hey, well, we're going to take another call here. How about Dee? Dee is calling from Salisbury, Maryland, WOLC. Hey, Dee.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for calling. How can we help?
Well, I've caught my husband in porn a couple different times. Once was on the internet. And this last time he involved our 14-year-old son.
What?
Yeah.
When I caught him on the internet, I asked him to stop. And he did, from what I can tell. But this time, he involved our 14-year-old son because our son asked a girl out, and he got rejected, and he was really hurt by that. And instead of my husband encouraging him in a positive way through that situation, he tried to put him, you know, he tried to encourage him through porn. He bought him a porn poster.
A porn poster?
I protested. I put my foot down, and mm-hmm. I told him I didn't want that stuff in the house, and they finally gave it back to me. But my question is, I want to approach my husband again, and this time I'm not backing down. I feel like I need to get some backbone, and I need to take a stand.
Absolutely.
So if my husband refuses to deal with the issues like he did once in counseling, is it appropriate to separate?
Well, what you're talking about is a possible tactic in a broader strategy. And so, you know, you don't immediately go to separation. Sometimes separation occurs because it's the best thing to do. But what I think you need to do is really get to a good counselor immediately and figure out what the best strategy is to get your husband actually involved in a process and what's best for your child as well.
We will be right back, Dee, to help you out.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham, and I'm sitting in for Steve Arterburn here with Henry Cloud and Jill Hubbard. And yes, we are here all day, so give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. And we're sitting with Dee, who has a husband who has shown her 14-year-old son, or actually bought him a poster pornography.
To help him get over his dating ills.
Yeah. So we had some thoughts for you, Dee.
Okay.
Well, Dee, certainly I think it's important that you stand your ground and you don't back down. So you get all of the support that you need to help you to do that. It would be so great if your husband would go to EMB. And I think, you know, you were talking about separation. I think Henry mentioned getting into therapy. I think you need to let your husband know in a way that's maybe different than the way you have said things in the past, that this is serious and you need to take some steps to move forward in dealing with it, because you have your son at stake here. And it's really, you know, those of us who are moms, that mama bear inside of us rears up, because it's time to protect your son, because you do not want this passed down to him. And I would be talking to my son and giving him a different perspective than what he's been given from his dad.
I've tried that, but, you know, he's 14. He doesn't want to hear anything I have to say. The whole idea of girls, he won't talk to me about it. It's
okay.
Well, and he might be aligning.
I have tried.
Yeah, he might be aligning with his
dad
right now.
I mean, he is at the age where that does make sense, that he would be doing that.
But Dee, I think the bigger separation is kind of the or fragmentation or breach or whatever you call it, is between you and your husband, right? You're not on the same page about what to do with your son.
We never have been.
Right. And so what have you guys done? And we got to go fast here because we're up against the clock. But what have you guys done to work on the marriage? Because that's got to be what's solved first.
Right. Well, we've been 22 years.
You've what? 2 years?
We had a 22. And we had a very rocky start to our marriage. There was a lot of bickering, a lot of verbal and emotional abuse. Not from me, my husband giving it to me, verbal abuse and emotional abuse. And parenthood scared the crap
out
of him, but he did very well.
I need you to answer the question. What have you guys done in the last few years to work on your marriage? Have you gone to a counselor?
We have, and he got to a place where he wouldn't do any more counseling.
Okay, and so you dropped out as well?
I did. Well, I kept going for myself. I dropped out, but I picked it up again 6 months ago.
Okay. Well, I would talk to your counselor about all this and try to get the best strategy to get him back into some sort of help with the two of you. Because until you can kind of have some sort of stronger glue there, he's going to be a wild card out there with your son.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want to go there.
No. And I don't. And what do you mean exactly by pornographic poster?
It was a scantily dressed woman with her breast coming out.
Like in a bikini or like full showing everything?
What, soft porn or hard porn?
Well, I mean, would it be like a Victoria's Secret? Would it be like a Victoria's Secret or a Playboy magazine? Was she covered?
She was wearing what looks like a swimsuit, but it looked also like lingerie that wasn't completely on.
Okay, and, so scantily covered.
Mean,
all right, we just need to know what you meant by that. Obviously, too suggestive, probably, you know, whatever. Not a good idea for sure. All right. So
some of the recommendations I think we've heard, you know, Jill had mentioned your husband really needs to get to our Every Man's Battle workshop. Mm-hmm. You can see when sexual things are happening in your home, it's going to trickle down. It mm-hmm. needs to really be looked at.
Well, he's scared and feels inadequate, right?
Yeah.
He needs some help.
Yeah. And then, Dee, I would suggest you come to our Wives in the Battle workshop that's coming up in September 23rd to 25th. You would be there in great company of other mm-hmm. women that are also standing up and trying to really defend their families and figure out what to do with all of this.
Stop being paralyzed.
Yeah.
By that, right?
Yeah. So would love to make that suggestion. And then we'd like to send to you Every Young Man's Battle. Mm-hmm. For your son, and then Boundaries in Marriage would be two resources that we're going to send your way. So thank you so much for calling, Dee. We are going to hear from Larry Sonnenberg. He is our president of New Life Ministries, and Larry is here. Hey, Larry.
Hey, how are you?
Larry's going to give us an update on what's happening here in the world of finance and...
Well, last week, excuse me, I wasn't here. I was lucky. I was in New Hampshire at my son's wedding. But Steve spent a couple of days on the air seeking support and funding because we're on a campaign this year. And our campaign this year is to not fall behind but to gain on our airtime payments. During the last year, a little more, we fell seriously behind in some payments to some stations, and we just have to catch up. It's not really responsible to live this way.
And we lost a few, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
We lost a couple. We canceled a couple, and we had one that canceled us.
Painful.
It's very painful. But so we're on this campaign, and Steve went on the air and sought some support, and I just wanted to report that we barely made it again in May. We did not catch up. We didn't get the money that Steve had hoped we would get to make the progress we want to make. But we didn't fall behind, so that's a good thing. You know, we're not panicked, but down here in Laguna Beach, they have a flag system. They have a yellow flag, they've got a red flag or a green flag, depending on the tide and the weather. And I'd say a few years ago in my life, I might be putting up a red flag and running around like a chicken without a head trying to raise money. But I'll put the yellow flag up and put the word out to our donors and just say, we need your help still. This is God's ministry. He's going to provide. But he provides through people.
Yeah.
And I see, and Henry, I know you've given word to it when you were out and about, and I get to travel a lot. This ministry touches lives in ways mm-hmm. that's just incredible, and it's long-term, and it's healing, and it's mm-hmm. hopeful. It's not just a feel-good experience.
Yeah, and I'll say it again, because people tune in and don't tune in and on different days, and some people may never have heard this. But when you listen to the radio show, a lot of people think that's what New Life does.
Mm-hmm.
New Life has a radio show. Well, that's the very tip of the iceberg. The radio show is how we... you know, help people on the air and hopefully teach some things and get the word out. But the rest of the iceberg that you don't see under the water is what New Life does in gazillions of lives. I don't know what the numbers are now, but I remember kind of back when I was involved in that part of it, we used to get like 25,000 calls a month mm-hmm. of people needing help.
Mm-hmm.
You hear, you know, five or six that get on the air. These are people that need help, that get placed with counselors, they get placed in churches, they get placed in shelters, they get placed in treatment centers, marriages are saved, families are turned around, mm-hmm. and there's a 24-hour call center that helps people throughout the clock. And so when you give to New Life Ministry, you're not giving to just a radio show, you're giving to an entire safety net that exists around the country to turn lives around.
And there's nothing else like it out there.
There isn't.
We no. are it, right? There's there, nothing else.
Right.
And we're fully funded by you, our listeners.
So today, if you can, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, especially if you've never called before. If you have never made a gift before, if you're very casually given, call us today, please, and make a gift.
We'll be here all day, so hold on the lines. 1-800-229-3000. Thank you for calling New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.